You might have heard of Dry January. Well, some people also mark a Sober October. The concept is simple. Spend a month abstaining from, usually it's alcohol, sometimes it might be other substances like pot, in order to reset your relationship with that substance. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever tried a sober month or even just taken a break on your own because you thought you could use it? Have you tried to create a more mindful relationship to your alcohol consumption? Has your relationship with alcohol or other drugs changed significantly during the pandemic? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Elizabeth D'Amico is a senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation and a licensed clinical psychologist. Liz, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
I've known people who have done a sober month, sometimes the Dry-nuary or whatever it might be. Is it a gimmick or is there something legitimate that people can get out of taking that break and kind of reevaluating?
I think that's a really great question. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it's important to take a look at their substance use, whether or not they're having a problem. It just gives you an opportunity to think about how much am I using? Is it causing any relationship problems? What would happen if I cut back? What are the good things? What are the not so good things? It just gives people an opportunity to start thinking about it.
And I think sometimes there's an all or nothing approach, like, I drink. Sometimes I don't have a problem with it. I don't need to worry about it. Or this is a serious addiction problem. I need to cut things out completely. For a lot of people, is there a middle ground there?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Everyone has to kind of evaluate where they are for themselves. And I think you make a good point about it being all or nothing. There's definitely the middle. I think people use socially and they're able to use in a controlled manner where they don't have problems. And I think something important is people have to think about, well, when does it become a problem? And I think nobody starts using alcohol or pot, as you mentioned, with the intention of becoming addicted. And sometimes we have to figure out where we are on that path. And having, you know, Dry January, Sober October can give people a moment to think about where they are with their substance use.
A lot of the people who promote Sober October or Dry January focus on alcohol. I understand you're hoping that people do include things like marijuana in that kind of thinking.
Well, I think, you know, I'm in California and pot has been legal here for a while. And I think that what we've seen is often people really understand how to use alcohol, I think, in a safer way. And people are still maybe trying to figure out how to use marijuana, and they might not see the consequences that are there for marijuana versus alcohol. And so I think it's important to think about both substances and how your use might create problems or whether your use is just social.
We're talking to Elizabeth D'Amico, senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation, licensed clinical psychologist, talking about the idea of a sober October or a dry January, the idea of whenever you do it, taking a break from alcohol or other substance one uses regularly, taking a break, stopping for a week or a month or whatever the time may be, evaluating your relationship with it. Have you ever done that? You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you took a break, say, from drinking here in Wisconsin for a month, did it change the way you thought about drinking, period? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You started to get into this a little bit, Liz. For people who drink regularly, don't think of themselves necessarily as problem drinkers. What kind of questions do you want people to ask themselves to see if maybe there is a problem there that they should be thinking about tackling?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think that, as I mentioned, people don't necessarily start using a substance to become addicted. They use it socially or maybe to just have fun with friends or fit in. And there's a lot of things you have to think about. So, first of all, you know, are you using in a situation where it's, you know, physically hazardous? For example, are you getting into a car and using? That's what might create problems, right? Are you having relationships or interpersonal problems? Are you missing work? Those are all things that if those start to happen, that you might want to rethink your use.
I know some of the work you do is with youth and teens, where the ideal amount of drinking is zero, or another drug use for that matter. And you've worked a lot, I think, on how to have conversations, how to talk to kids about these issues. What kind of lessons have you learned?
Well, I think, you know, for a lot of people, there's a lot of internal pressure perhaps to use. It's not necessarily people handing you a substance, but maybe you go to a party and you feel like everyone is using. And so we talk a lot with teens about ways where you can still be social and not use. So you could have a drink in your hand. No one needs to know that it's water or just soda. But it's a way then for you to be social and not worry about having alcohol or another substance. So I think that can work for adults as well, because adults might feel pressure too in social situations. You know, if you're going to happy hour, but maybe you don't want to have a drink, or maybe you only want to have one drink. So you can, you know, use water or, you know, do every other one, spacing. There's a lot of ways to really think about how to cut back on your drinking if you want to.
And I know sometimes as a teen, there might be the thought that, well, everybody, all the kids are drinking these days. And that is a mistaken impression. Is that important?
Yeah, it really is important, because I think a lot of the things we see on the TV and the movies and the things that teens talk about are, you know, who was drunk, right? Who was throwing up in the bushes? Oh my goodness, right? They're not talking about the teens that maybe sat home and watched a movie with their friends and didn't drink. And so I think sometimes there is this misperception that everyone is doing it. And we know from the data that in reality, many teens do not drink and do not use pot.
Is there something like that for adults? Especially, I'm thinking of a state like Wisconsin with a very public-facing, I guess I'd say, drinking culture. In many measures, we do, I think, drink more than other places, drinking while driving than most states. Do we set our understanding of the world thinking everybody else is drinking, and that maybe changes our sense of how much is okay for us to drink as individuals?
Yes, I think the context that things happen in can really affect the choices people make when they have, you know, certain people around them. For example, if your friends drink a lot, and, you know, people will say, well, my friends drink, I only drink 5 beers, they drink 10. And that's kind of the way they look at the world. It can definitely affect the choices you make. And I think what's important is to look outside of that context as well, like you mentioned, for adults, because certain contexts do promote drinking or pot use more than others. And so we have to kind of widen our perspective about what is actually normal in terms of drinking behavior.
We invited our listeners to join in on the Ideas Network Facebook page or call in at 800-642-1234. Cassandra wrote on Facebook, she writes, I take several months off. My parents were alcoholics. It's my way to make sure I'm not on that road. What do you think of that, Liz?
I think, you know, everyone has to do the choices that are right for them. And I think when you have that in your family, it can be a real wake-up call for you in terms of, you know, where you want to go. And I think for a lot of people, seeing that the consequences that occur from drinking behavior in their family really do push them to decide that they don't want to go down that path themselves.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Cassandra. I wonder, Liz, you know, are there people out there who maybe shouldn't do half measures? They know that there's a problem. If they start again, it's going to get bad again. Could you talk to that group of people who should maybe not have that month off, but just be done completely?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's really difficult to make a choice to not use forever. So I think in our line of work, we always encourage people to just take that first step, you know, make that first choice and then see where it goes from there. Because what we find in the work that we do is when people do decide maybe not to drink that Friday, then it's easier for them to decide, you know, that went well, I'm not going to drink Saturday. I think it can be really overwhelming when you think about it as, you know, I'm never going to be able to do that again. And so I think really trying to break it down and do a little bit at a time helps people get on that road to recovery.
We're talking to Dr. Elizabeth D'Amico, senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation, a licensed clinical psychologist, looking at the idea of taking a sober month, abstaining from alcohol or other substances. There are a couple different campaigns coming up very soon. Sober October, some people are promoting. There's also a New Year's one called Dry January or Dry Newary. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you done this, or would you consider doing this, setting aside time, maybe a month, to not drink at all? Tell us what you think of that idea. Do you have a hard time not drinking in Wisconsin in some social settings? Do you feel pressured to drink, or you're going to look weird at a whatever, tailgate, public event, you name it? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our talk with Dr. Elizabeth D'Amico, senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation, a licensed clinical psychologist, looking at the idea of a sober October or other efforts to get people to take a break from drinking or other substance use. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you done this? Do you like the idea of doing this? Do you want to give it a try? Do you have trouble finding situations in Wisconsin where you don't feel pressured to drink? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to our callers now. Beth is with us in Grafton. Beth, hello.
Hi, thank you for this show. I don't think we talk about alcohol enough, especially in Wisconsin. I have a success story. My son, who's in his mid-30s, looking from the outside, we could tell that he definitely had a drinking problem. It runs on both sides of his family. We were very concerned. After a very rough event where he was totally inebriated and out of control, he decided that next day that was it, that he was going to get some help, and he did. And the last 2 months have been so amazing. He's doing better in his job. His family life is better. His parenting is better. He's able to have conversations without getting angry. I mean, we, again, looking from the outside, can see such amazing changes in his life, not only personality-wise, but physically-wise. He's lost weight. His swelling in his face has gone down. It's been great. And I know from coming from a family of alcoholics that it's not easy to do by yourself, but he knows that he can get further help if he needs it. And I think even if he, God forbid, starts to drink again, I think he knows enough now that it will affect his life, but there are some places that he can go for help. And this is a man that has been drinking since he was a teenager. So there is help out there, and there is there's support, and I'm just grateful for your show.
Beth, thank you so much for sharing that story. Best to your son and your family. Liz, she mentioned that he sounds like he's doing it on his own, but he knows that there's help available out there. What do we know for that? If someone in her son's position says, you know what, I need a little backup here to do this, what are the best things to seek out in that situation?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of help out there, and congratulations to her son for making that choice and taking those steps and seeing those changes. If you go online, the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism has a lot of resources there. You can do screeners on there to kind of see where your drinking behavior might fall. There's a lot of information there on if you wanted to get treatment, where you could get that. There's phone numbers and lots of resources to help answer questions, because I think sometimes it can be really scary. And it sounds like in this case, her son had a really supportive family. For some people, it might be hard. Cassandra, who mentioned that her family drinks, it might be harder in some families to stop drinking if your family members drink. And so you might have to find support elsewhere.
Thanks a lot for sharing that story, Beth, at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Brianna now in Madison. Brianna, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just recently, about 3 months ago, decided to be permanently sober. And it was just a choice that I made after realizing that binge drinking had been a part of my life since I was very young, and realizing that that wasn't something that I wanted to take part in anymore. And I think part of the struggle with making the decision to be sober was I didn't really know who I was in social settings without drinking. You know, how to continue these relationships with my friends if there's no wine or there's no drinks involved. And I'm finding that more and more it's becoming more accepted in the culture in Wisconsin to be sober and to be able to go out and have things like mocktails or drinks that don't have alcohol in them so that you can feel still a part of your group with your friends, but continue on with your sober lifestyle and not feel like you can't be in those settings.
So, Brianna, when you're out with your friends in that situation, you don't feel like the pressure or the odd looks or anything like that with them?
I don't. And
That's
I was
great.
Worried about that in the beginning, but I didn't make it a point to make it known that I was sober. And I'm finding more that when I do tell a friend that, I've had a few friends come back and say, oh, you know what? Me either. I don't drink anymore either.
That's great.
So it's been really great, actually.
Brianna, thank you so much for sharing that. And Liz, that brings us to a great point. How can people support that friend or family member who's making this choice to not drink or smoke pot or whatever the case may be anymore?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of ways, and that was a really wonderful story, because I think it is important to still have those social opportunities and to not pressure people when they're in those situations, when they're trying to make a change in their behavior. So it sounds like Brianna's friends were great and supported her, and she was able to find a way to be social and have a mocktail and still get that, still get to hang out with friends. So I think, you know, the most important thing is that when people make a choice like that, we have to try to be there for them and understand that it's important to them. And that's really key.
Thanks a lot for that call, Brianna, at 800-642-1234. Dr. Elizabeth D'Amico is with us, licensed clinical psychologist, looking at the idea of taking a break from alcohol or other substances we use regularly. Sober October is one campaign starting in just a couple days. Dry January or Dry-nuary is a New Year's effort as well. Still time for your call at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Baraboo. Jim, hi.
Hi, I just wanted to report that on July 17th of this year, I celebrated my 40th anniversary without alcohol.
Congratulations, Jim. What can I ask, if I may, what started you on that path?
I found that it just simply was too ruinous to my life, but I had to make a choice between whether I wanted to have a successful life or at least a decent life, and whether I wanted to go on drinking. They sent me to Germany at age 19 for over 2 years, and I learned to drink pretty heavily in service and on German beer, which is much more potent. And when I came back here, American beer was pretty easy to consume. I'm not exaggerating that I was capable on a regular basis of drinking a case of beer every night without hesitation, and it didn't affect my work or anything.
Well, Jim, thank you for sharing your story, and congratulations, 40 years, I'm sorry, as of July. Those early habits, Liz, he was 19 in the service in Germany. We were talking earlier about youth and teens. How much do we worry about setting a bad pattern if we get hooked at an early age?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's why it's so important that we talk to our teens and young adults about both alcohol and pot, because their brains are still developing, and we know that those substances can affect their brains and how they think. And when you start using a substance at an earlier age, there's a higher potential to become addicted. And also, you just, as you mentioned, you get used to it and you do it again and again. And so I think educating our youth about how to make healthy choices around substances is really important in terms of how they're going to be as adults.
That reminds me, some of your research looks at advertisements. So kids will see a lot of alcohol advertisements as they grow up. They may, in some states like yours, see marijuana advertisements. What thoughts do you have for parents on making sure kids don't get that message and go the wrong way with it?
Yeah, I think of it as teachable moments always. Having two teenagers myself, I think it's just important to talk to them. So when we see ads, we talk about, you know, what the ad's trying to sell you And is the ad telling the whole story? And I think it just makes them savvier consumers, and they understand that, you know, alcohol isn't going to make you the most popular person in the world. And if you do choose to use it, you have to use it wisely. So you don't use it in a dangerous way. You don't, you know, use it, as Jim was saying, he noticed he was using it regularly and using really heavily, and it was really affecting his life. And so you have to think about, if you are going to use it, how to use it in a way where you don't have those kinds of problems.
Just our last few moments, we've heard concerns that drinking had gone up over the course of the pandemic. Is that something that matches up with what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think we've seen that in adults. What's interesting is they didn't see that in teens, and that could just be because they were trapped at home a little bit more. But I think that there are concerns about that. And also for people who were in recovery with the stress, it was very hard, and drug overdoses also went up. So I think it just speaks to really being aware of mental health, and that sometimes people might use substances to cope. And so again, I think finding those resources online that you can look at and see what's in your area to be able to talk to people, whether you have, you know, stress, anxiety, depression, because those can often lead to substance use as well.
Liz, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Elizabeth D'Amico, senior behavioral scientist at the RAND Corporation and a licensed clinical psychologist, showing us to talk about the idea of taking a sober month like the upcoming Sober October.